and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. I hope you are ready for more thrills and chills in our Halloween series. This week we have two ghost stories that are as frightening as your imagination can make them. They are both from the Hermit's Cave series. It originated in Detroit at WJR, but was syndicated, so usually the commercials were added locally. First, we have a story about an author who is haunted by the ghost of a woman killed in one of his novels. The Hermit's Cave, The Author of Murder. First broadcast May 2nd, 1937 on WJR Detroit for world syndication.
The Mummers in the Little Theater of the Air.
To see you. Come in, sit down. Let me look at you. Ah, it's good to see you again.
It's good to see you again, too.
Only seen you once since your marriage. Where do you and Lyman hide out? And how is that author husband of yours, anyway?
Well, it's your fault you haven't seen us. Been invited 3 times, you know.
Ham couldn't get away. Besides, why do you live way out in the wilderness? Hazel, you're not ill. Or are you?
No, Dr. Russell. It isn't I.
Bob. Not Dr. Russell to you, my dear.
It's easier to call you Dr. Russell on a call like this.
What can I do for you, Hazel? Here, want to smoke? Have a cigarette.
Thanks.
There now.
I came to talk to you about Lyman.
Yes? Is he ill, Hazel?
It's worse than that. I don't know what it is, but it's something dreadful. Terrible, I know.
You tell me the best you can.
Well, at first, when we moved out in the country, he seemed so happy. He was busy writing a new novel.
And he had you there with him?
Yes. I thought that should make him happy. He'd made me rush the marriage so.
Married 2 months before you planned to be, weren't you?
Yes. But then, several months after we'd been out in the country, Lyman began to act very strange. Very strange.
What do you mean?
Well, at first I thought it was fear of something. I don't know what. And then he began to sit in the library. All night long.
Writing, you mean?
Some, perhaps. But when he'd come upstairs early in the morning, he'd look like someone who had undergone a terrible struggle. An ordeal. His face would be white and chalky. His eyes would jerk and his lips tremble.
How long has this been going on?
For a month now. Oh, it's terrible. Something's driving him mad. Whatever it is, it'll kill him.
Hazel, I don't know what to say. I can't say anything right offhand. But you know, my dear, writers... Well, anyway, Lyman has always been rather a peculiar chap. Normal, of course. Normal as any of...
He's not normal now. He's changed. He's not the same. Oh, you've got to do something.
Can you get him to come and see me?
No. That's the trouble. I can't. He won't leave the house for a day. I've begged him to get out, but he won't.
Tell him you were coming to see me?
Oh, mercy, no. Just in town, shopping.
And you want me to come to him. Is that it?
Exactly.
Without his knowing, I'm making a professional call.
Yes. I want you to come for the weekend, and while there, see if you can do anything for him.
I'm not a psychiatrist, honey. I may advise pills when he needs a change of air.
Oh, I know you. You'll do the right thing. When can you come?
Well, want me this weekend? Tomorrow?
Indeed, I do.
I think I can get away this weekend. I will. I'll be there.
Oh, fine. I feel better already. About Lyman, I mean. I know you can help him if anyone can.
Now, don't put too much faith in a doddering old surgeon, my dear.
Oh, you're the best physician in the world, because I have faith in you. I'll be expecting you for dinner tonight.
Hazel, this has been a splendid dinner. I've really eaten more than I ought.
Oh, it's nice to see a man relish a meal. Lyman rarely eats.
Yeah. I was going to tell you, Bob, that I have no appetite. But it isn't true.
Lyman, you know it is. Why, night after night, he leaves the table scarcely touching his plate.
It isn't true, I tell you.
Well, perhaps Lyman is more sensible than I am. Now, I know too hearty a meal isn't good for me, particularly at night. I don't recommend it to my patients, but like all who preach, I don't practice my own teachings.
Like the shoemaker's children who go without shoes?
Something like that.
Well, if you finished your coffee, shall we go to the drawing room?
Fine. Now, Lyman, how about telling me about your new novel? What's the theme?
I haven't been writing lately.
But he has to soon. He's promised his publishers that it'd be ready in a month.
Don't remind me what I have to do. I'll have it ready.
I'm sure you will. With Hazel here for inspiration, it ought to go fast.
Shall we go to the drawing room, then?
Yes. This way, Bob.
Oh, beautiful here. Beautiful, then. Hazel, this is a lovely home you have out here in the country.
I'm glad you like it.
Quiet and peaceful, too. Ought to be a writer's paradise.
Oh, here, Bob, sit in this chair. I'm sure you'll find it comfortable.
Thank you.
Where are you going to sit, Lyman?
If you'll excuse me, I think I'll go to the library. I have some work to do.
Don't let me annoy you, Lyman, or keep you from work.
But I thought you'd like to visit with Bob.
I tell you, I have work to do.
All right, of course we'll excuse you.
Yes, I have work to do.
Will you join us later?
Perhaps. No, don't wait for me. Getting late, I'm sure Bob will want to retire soon.
Oh, but it's early yet, Lyman.
All the same, don't wait for me.
Well, what do you think?
I don't know what to think.
He does act strange, doesn't he?
Yes.
He isn't the same.
No, he isn't.
Changed. And I'm so awfully worried. Notice how he glances everywhere and looks nowhere?
I did.
What can be the trouble?
Seems to be listening for something. Waiting for something.
Yes, that's it.
Of course, Lyman's never been very loquacious.
No, that's right. He dislikes small talk.
There's something almost rude about his taciturnity this evening.
Oh, I know. Oh, Bob, as a doctor, not as a friend, what would you say is the matter?
My dear, I can't answer you yet.
Is it I? Is he tired of me?
No, I don't think so.
But I must know. Notice how white and drawn his face is.
He's under some strain, all right.
What do you propose to do?
As soon as you go upstairs to bed, I'm going to the library and sit with him.
Oh, but he won't let you.
I'm accustomed to giving orders, not taking them.
I know, but you don't
know
how...
He'll let me stay. Did you notice how he kept looking towards the library and yet tried to hide it from us?
Why, yes. Now that you mention it, I do.
I have a feeling that whatever it is that's bothering Lyman... The library has something to do with it. I'll do my best tonight to find out what it is.
Who is it?
It's I, Bob.
What do you want?
Let me in, won't you?
Sorry, I'm busy.
Why lock the door, Lyman?
Never mind. Go away.
Lyman, I'll call one of the servants to open it for me. I'll rouse the whole house.
You can't come in. All right.
Well?
Come on, let a fellow in.
You came here to snoop, I know it. Hazel brought you here to watch me.
And you admit that there is something wrong, Lyman.
I admit nothing. What time is it?
Chimes just struck as I came down the hall. Let's see. 11:45.
Then you must go. Get out of here.
I don't understand.
The door. I must lock the door.
Come on, Lyman. Tell me what it is that's bothering you.
Go. Leave me alone.
No, I'm here to stay.
I have a gun here, Dr. Russell.
But you won't use it. Not on me.
She'll be coming in a moment. She'll try to get out of this room, rattle the doorknob. Try to get out of this library to kill my wife.
I confess I don't know what you're talking about. Who will come, Lyman?
You'll hear her in a minute. Moving out of those bookshelves. Moving towards me. Towards the door.
Who do you mean?
At first, you'll smell the perfume she always wore.
Lyman, who are you talking about?
Shirley Gray. Ghost of Shirley Gray.
Shirley Gray?
Ghost of Shirley Gray. She lives in this room. At night, midnight, she tries to get out and kill Hazel.
Oh, now come, Lyman. You've been working too hard. Your mind is weary. Your imagination is working overtime. Better go up and get some sleep.
I knew this would be the way. I knew what you'd say. You think I'm out of my mind? You think I'm crazy? Well, I'm not. You doctors are fools. Can't see. Only measles, smallpox. You only can see something that bats you in the face.
It's only because I can see that I'm asking you to go upstairs and get some rest. No one can go on sleepless for weeks and remain sane.
I'm sane, all right. More than you are. Listen, the clock. It's midnight. She'll be here in a moment. Listen. Listen, do you hear? Listen if you dare. Do you hear her?
I hear nothing, Lyman.
She's coming nearer. I can almost see her tonight. She's dressed in a soft, flowing gown. She's coming closer towards me. Nearer. Nearer. She's coming nearer. Shirley, I didn't kill you. I didn't mean to kill you.
Lyman, what on earth is the matter?
Dr. Russell, don't grab my arm. Let me go. Let me go, I tell you. Let me go. Can't you see? She's moving towards the door. She wants to get out. No! No, you can't get out of here. I'll stop you. No! No, you can't get out that door. Get back. Back into the shelves. I didn't mean to kill you, Shirley. Get back into the shelves. Back, back. I'm pushing her back. I'm winning. Winning. Back. Back into the shelves. Back. There.
Lyman. Lyman, what is it?
It's all over now. I won. She didn't get out. She's gone back. Now I can go upstairs and sleep. Sleep. I've won the battle for another night. Now I can sleep.
Who is Shirley who comes out of the bookcase at midnight? Is it someone Lyman killed? The hermit will tell you before the night is done.
There are people in most countries who would like to live in the Republic of the United States or the Dominion of Canada where that good Olga Cole is sold. The citizens of our free countries are the envy of many people elsewhere because of the personal freedom which we have enjoyed. Why, then, doesn't every country adopt a form of free government? One answer is that, unfortunately, there are people and parties in many nations who are so greedy for power that they will sacrifice the freedom of their fellow countrymen to obtain power for themselves. History, even recent history, is replete with such instances. That is why the citizens of the Republic of the United States and the Dominion of Canada must be careful to recognize at its very beginning any movement to steal or limit their freedom. That is not always easy. The man who would enslave a free people doesn't begin by saying, "Now I'm going to be your dictator." Instead, he probably will claim that he is a devoted supporter of personal freedom. But all the while, he will support policies that weaken and undermine personal freedom. Such a man will deny any totalitarian aims. But free citizens must not be deceived by such denials. Apparently, it is a cardinal principle of every sincere totalitarian that he is justified in lying, if such lies will advance his plans. In these times, no public figure and no party or organization supporting such a person can be accepted without careful consideration. Every public figure and organization must be carefully scrutinized. And if their real aims are to limit or to destroy our freedom as individuals, they must be opposed and defeated. Now the hermit again.
The next morning, Dr. Russell talks to Lyman about the mysterious Shirley. Is the doctor talking to a murderer, eh? Listen.
Lyman, I want to hear the story. In this clear, clean daylight.
I want you to tell me your story.
It's nothing I can tell you.
I'm your friend, Hazel's friend. I can't see your lives ruined, see your whole future shattered by some strange thing that holds you that, if it were brought out into daylight, would vanish.
You think it would?
I'm sure it would.
It's with me as much in the day as it is at night.
I found out since last night that Shirley Gray was a character in your last novel. Now, certainly, Lyman, you aren't going to sit there and tell me that you believe a character out of a storybook can return to haunt you.
Yes, yes, she does.
It's absurd. Besides, from what I know of ghosts, doors wouldn't bother them. They'd walk right through them.
Not Shirley. She isn't strong enough yet. She hasn't been dead long enough.
And how should she kill Hazel? How do you know she wants to kill her?
For revenge. I killed Shirley when she was still young, lovely. She didn't want to die.
But how do you know she wants to kill Hazel?
Because night after night, she's come to me. Guided my hand while I write. Is written, I'll take your wife from you, just as you snatched my lover.
Lyman, listen to me. Characters from storybooks, I don't care how real they are to you, were never flesh and blood. They can't inhabit a spirit world.
But Shirley Gray was flesh and blood. I took her out of life and put her in a book.
You mean you used some real girl as a type for your story?
Yes, I did.
Tell me about it, Lyman. Perhaps I'll be able to aid you.
It was several months before I was married. You remember I went up to that lake in the north to write?
I remember.
It was while I was there that I met Shirley Gray. She was the most strikingly beautiful girl that I'd ever seen.
Max, this is Mr. Clinton. Mr. Lyman Clinton.
How do you do, Mr. Clinton? Shirley tells me you're an author. She's frightfully keen on your stories. But I'm ashamed to say I don't believe I've ever read any of your work.
Oh, don't apologize, please. I'm the one who should do that. Afraid I write for money, not fame.
Oh, it isn't true. We've had a grand time talking books. From early French beginnings of the novel to modern. From Zola to John de Pepper.
Oh, it's nice of you to entertain Shirley, Mr. Clinton. I can only come out weekends. Gets pretty lonely here at the lake with only your folks for company.
The pleasure's been mine, I assure you.
Come on. We're wasting a glorious day meant for swimming. I'll race you to the second sandbar, Shirley.
Right. Want to bet? What do they say?
Whatever you say. And so I spent days at the lake with her, walking through the woods, talking, and falling in love with her.
But this Max, who was he?
The boy she loved, was engaged to.
Yes? Go on, Lyman.
In Shirley's company, I could feel myself groping for new thoughts, beginning to live more than I ever had before. She had a free and full imagination.
Yes?
She wasn't muddled by life as most people are. She possessed a spiritual insight, clear, alive.
I understand.
And one night I told her how I felt about her.
But Hazel, you were engaged to Hazel at the time.
I'd forgotten about Hazel. She belonged in another world. She had no existence in this one.
So you told this Shirley?
Yes. We'd climbed one of the high sand dunes that afternoon, had returned. It was dusk. Shadows had begun to settle on the water. Stars were beginning to fill the sky. And we'd pause to watch their reflection.
You will be returning home soon, Lyman. And so will I.
I shall never leave this spot. Nor you.
Not in mind, perhaps. But in actuality. This lake, the beauty of it all, will be something to remember on cold winter nights.
It's no use to disguise things from you, Shirley. You know I'm in love with you.
I know that, Lyman.
I'll never let you leave me. Never.
I think you will. You understand me. And yet you don't.
Meaning?
That you've read many things into me that don't exist at all. And have omitted one thing. The main thing.
Which is?
That I love Max. Love him very much.
No place for me?
Don't beg. I hate it. With Max, life is easy, unconfused. We're happy on a simple plane. We'll romp through life together and fight together. But not with too much effort.
The easy way?
Perhaps. But why take the difficult? I like life. It's fun. It may be drab and hard someday. But not now.
I haven't misunderstood you, Shirley. Quite the contrary. And I love you.
Please, Lyman, let's not talk anymore. Look at the water. See the boat way off in the distance, covered with a thousand lights, going somewhere. Let's just sit here and watch.
That night was the last time I saw Shirley Gray alive.
Yes, what happened to her?
She left the lake the next day. 2 days after, I returned home.
And asked Hazel to hasten your marriage?
Yes, because I wanted to forget this girl as soon as I could.
I understand.
But I couldn't forget her. I couldn't. She was with me constantly. So I began to write a story about her. That drove me wild.
Yet you finished the book? Published it, in fact.
Yes, I finished it. But do you know what I did?
I think I know.
I couldn't bear to think of Shirley living without me. So I killed her in the story. Then the very day that I killed her in the book, she was killed in life.
What?
Yes, killed. In an automobile. Instantly.
That had nothing to do with your story. You weren't to blame.
I was. I fought so hard, wanted it so much. I brought it about. I killed her. She wasn't ready to die. She won't accept death. Now she comes back to haunt me for retribution. Tell me, Doctor, what am I going to do? Help me if you can. Help me, please.
I will, Lyman. Tonight we shall go to the library together. And I will help you. I have a plan.
I killed her.
How do you do, young man? You're Max Pierce, aren't you?
Yes, sir, I am.
I'm Dr. Russell.
Oh, yes, Dr. Russell. I'm glad to meet you. But there's nothing you can do for me. I was in an automobile accident. Smashed up. Always have to walk with crutches.
I know what I'm going to ask of you will seem very strange and personal. But I have a very good reason. Will you hear me?
Why, yes. What is it?
You were engaged to Shirley Gray, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
And loved her?
We were to have been married. I don't understand you.
You will in a moment. And Shirley Gray died?
Yes. And I had to live on. I don't want to.
If you're able, your doctor told me I might take you with me tonight to help save another man's sanity. We have to drive in the country. I'll tell you the story on the way.
This is all strange to me.
Now, don't be afraid. It's all right. Will you come?
Yes, I'll come.
To my car, then. I'll tell you the story as we drive to our destination. That's all there is to tell right now.
It doesn't seem possible.
I'm sane and considered to be a level-headed man. I've never believed in ghosts. Never.
Nor I.
But I'm compelled to believe this time.
But why doesn't she come to me?
Perhaps she will. Tonight. Here we are. It's 11:30. You'll find him in the library waiting. It's I.
Yes? Come in.
Who's this? Who have you brought with you?
Max Pierce. Do you remember him?
Why have you brought him here? Please, Mr. Clinton. I want to help you. And I want to see Shirley.
Perhaps he can talk to her.
You've made a mess of things. Seeing Max will craze her. She'll kill all of us.
No, I think it will give her peace.
She wants revenge, not peace.
But you need help. You can't go on this way.
Sit down, both of you. Be quiet and listen. Listen. Do you hear that rustling sound? It's the wind and the water. She brings the sound with her. Listen. She's coming. Nearer. Nearer. I can see her tonight. Do you see her?
Why? Why, yes. Yes, I do see her.
Shirley, my darling. Shirley, speak to me.
Max. Max, you've come to me.
Oh, yes, Shirley, I'm here. My darling, I love you.
Do you want to come with me now? Forever?
I do, yes. Shirley, I do.
But your revenge upon me.
I shall have my revenge. You shall go on living, suffering for killing others.
Shirley.
Don't be afraid to die. Death will be lovely when we are together.
What have I done?
I forgive you, Lyman Clinton. I leave you in peace. Come to me, Max. Follow me.
Yes, Shirley. I'll follow you. I'll follow you. I'll follow you.
Lyman's story actually caused the death of Shirley Gray. A spirit returned and took Max Pierce to her, leaving Lyman to ponder and suffer the rest of his life. Turn on your lights. Turn them on. I'll be back. Pleasant dreams.
All characters, places, and occurrences mentioned in the Hermit's Cave are fictitious, and similarity to persons, places, or occurrences is purely accidental.
You're listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web with your host, Justine Ward. After the next episode of Hermit's Cave, we have some extra time for a classic Arch Obler horror track called The Dark. Next, we have a classic horror scenario when three people seek shelter in a strange house during a violent storm. Enjoy The Hermit's Cave, The House on Lost Man's Bluff, first broadcast in 1940 for world syndication.
The Mummers in the Little Theater of the Air.
Charles. Denton filled up at the last stop. What is it, Denton?
For heaven's sake, Nan, how do I know? Well, that's that.
Ooh, I hope we don't get stranded in this forsaken territory.
Well, that'd be something, wouldn't it? We haven't passed a house in the last 3 hours.
Well, I might as well get out and see what I can do.
You want me to take a look at it, Denton?
No. I'll tinker with it a while. You and Nan sit down on the side of the road.
I might be able to find the trouble for you, Dad.
Charles was only trying to help, Denton.
Never mind, I say. I'll have a thing going in a moment. Do as I say. Sit along the road. I'm going to work.
Come on, Charles. Let's do as he says.
Just as you say, Denton.
Here's a nice place to sit, Charles. We can look right down into a valley from here.
Why, it is nice, isn't it?
See? You can look all over the valley.
Wonder what they call this place.
I wouldn't know. Oh, look. We're not so far from civilization as I thought.
A town at the lower end of the valley.
Yes.
Now, that's still a long way away. You see? The road takes a roundabout way along the rim of the valley.
Uh-huh.
Say, I bet that's where I'm going to work.
Do you think so?
I'll just bet you that's where the job is that Denton got for me.
Way out? Away from everything?
Oh, I don't know. Looks like a nice little town. I'll make out all right.
I hate to have you leaving us, Charles. I'll be terribly lonesome.
Oh, I'll get back to the city occasionally.
You must be sure to do that.
Sure I will. Nan, Denton can't hear us talking from here, can he?
No.
I have a feeling that he managed this job for me way out here because he didn't want me living with you two anymore.
Oh, no, Charles. Why should he object to my own brother living with us?
You've got me there. I can't figure it out. When I first came to stay with you, Denton talked of getting me work close by.
I know he did.
Nan, there's something strange about it.
I don't know exactly what you mean, Charles.
Yes, you do. Ever since Denton came back from that road trip, he's acted strange.
Now that you mention it, I think I have noticed something different about Denton.
He was jolly and friendly enough to me when I first arrived. And now all of a sudden he's changed.
Maybe we're imagining it all.
Doesn't seem that he'd be jealous of his wife's own brother, does it?
No. Denton's not like that.
But he has been for the last 10 days. Morose, sullen, sitting most of the time staring at me.
Maybe he feels I've been paying more attention to you than to him.
Maybe that's it.
It's only natural that I'd be solicitous of my own brother, whom I haven't seen for so many years.
We won't talk about it anymore. All I hope is that he isn't ill, that you aren't going to have trouble with me so far away.
You said we mustn't worry about it. We won't.
No.
I do wish he'd get the car started.
He wouldn't let me help him. Fairly pushed me away.
Denton's frightfully independent. But I wish he'd hurry.
Nervous?
I think we're going to have a storm. We should be getting out of these hills and down into town quickly.
Say, sky is getting black and gloomy.
Look over to the west. Clouds are piling up fast.
Something of a wind coming up, too.
Denton just stands there looking at the car as if he didn't know what he was doing.
Maybe he doesn't. Well, let's go back over. Maybe you'll let me help him now.
All right.
Watch your step. There are jagged pieces of rock here.
That wind's getting stronger every minute.
It sure is. Looks like we might be getting a tornado. How are you making out, Denton?
What?
Located the trouble?
We should hurry, Denton. There's a terrific storm coming up fast.
Can't make the car go if it doesn't want to.
Look at the sky, Denton. We're in for a real storm.
Wow. There goes my hat. No use chasing it now.
Please, hurry. Get the car started.
All right. All right, get inside. Maybe it'll go now.
Let's hurry.
We'll have to drive like mad to get out of these hills and into the village before the storm breaks.
I know these roads. I'll get you out all right.
Denton, don't be so cross. Jump on every word Charles says.
Then don't give me orders.
Oh, look. The sky is lighted by that streak of light. Now look how black it is. Turn on the lights of the car, Denton.
Easy. You'll never be able to keep the car on the road with a wind like this.
What are we going to do, Denton? It'll blow the car off the road and hurl us down the hill.
Wow. That was a peal of thunder.
Denton. Denton, we can't drive on, is it?
No. No, we can't. What are we going to do, Dad? Can we sit in the car and be safe?
We aren't going to sit here. We're going to make for shelter.
But where?
There's a house sitting up there on the rock.
It's so dark, I can't see it.
There's a house up there. I got caught in a storm the last time I was through here. Climbed up to that house and stayed until it blew over.
Can we get up there all right?
We can make it. We'll have to. Get out of the car. We've got to start right away. Hurry, climb out. Give me your hand, Dad.
The middle of the afternoon and black as night.
Oh, we've got to climb fast. We'll all take hold of hands and start up the rock. We've got to get to that house. We've got to get there. Give me your hand, man.
Let's go.
Hurry. Come on.
On the door, Dan.
We don't have to knock. We walk right in.
What?
Hurry. Get inside.
Oh. Boy, what a relief. I thought for a few minutes we might not make it.
I'll bolt this door so the wind won't rip it open.
Who owns this place? Doesn't anyone live here?
There was no one living in it when I stopped on my way through here last time.
Must belong to someone. It's completely furnished.
Whoever owns it hasn't been here for a long time, then. Everything's covered with dust and cobwebs. I can see them even in this pale light.
It's so dark in here. Can't you find a lamp or something, Denton?
I'll get a light. There's one in this room off the hall.
Come on, Charles, let's follow him. I don't like standing in this dark hall.
I found a lamp. I'll have it lighted in a moment.
Oh, it's so damp and cold in here. Ooh.
There. Huh. Light makes it better, doesn't it?
Some.
Maybe. I don't like the looks of this place.
At least we're out of the storm, Dan.
You stopped here on your last trip through, Denton? And there was no one living here then?
That's what I said, wasn't it?
But it's completely furnished. Surely someone lives here now.
Maybe they do. They aren't here now.
Almost like a dungeon in the room. Windows are built so high.
Something like a fort. But it's grand. Denton knew of this place. Its shelter out of the storm. A wind couldn't blow this building over.
Denton?
What?
What are you staring at?
What?
You heard what I said. What are you staring out into the hall for?
Say, Dan, are you all right?
Don't clench your hands that way. What do you see?
Did I say I saw anything?
What's the matter with you?
Don't keep asking me questions. I've got you out of the storm. Isn't that enough? Now leave me alone.
Where are you going? Where are you going, Denton? Stop him, Charles.
Don't you think we all of us sit in here? When the storm blows over, we can drive on.
What's wrong with him? He's moving like a person in a trance. Get him to come back in this room.
Are you ill, Denton? Is there something we can do?
Stay right where you are. Both of you.
What is it?
I'm going into that room across the hall.
But why? Why don't we all stay together? It's dark in here. I don't like it. I want you to stay near me.
I said I'm going into that room across the hall. And I'm going alone. Your brother Charles will take care of you. You prefer his company, don't you?
Is that what's wrong with you? Why do you act this way toward my brother?
You might as well make up your minds, both of you, that we'll stay in this house until morning. I'm going into this room to sleep.
Denton!
It's no use.
He is ill.
He's got it in for me. Come on. Let's go back where the lamp is.
Listen. You hear what he's doing?
Barricading the door.
What does all this mean? Oh, Charles.
Let's get back to where the lamp is.
It's as if he's lost his mind.
Sit down. It's been coming on him for some time. Ever since he made that last trip through here. We know that.
What shall we do? Why did he go into that room and leave us?
As soon as we get into town, we'll persuade him to see a doctor. Let's make the best of it now. If he wants to leave us and sleep, let him.
Oh.
It's tough on you, Nan. I'm sorry I brought you all this trouble.
Denon's never been this way before. There's something dreadfully wrong. What was that?
Oh, is that Denon laughing?
No, it can't be. He's never laughed like that in his life.
Oh, it's coming from the room Denton went into. That's for sure.
He's going mad. Oh, Charles.
Come on. He'll have to let us in.
Denton? Denton, what is it?
Let us in. Dan, let us in.
Locked?
Bolted and barricaded.
Denton, please let us in. It is coming from in there. But it's not Denton. It can't be. Oh, what are we going to do? What should we do?
Everything's all right now, Nan. He's quieted down.
He answered you the last time you went over to the room?
Yes. He said, I'm all right. Go away.
Oh.
I think he's going to sleep now. We might as well do the same.
I can't sleep in this horrible house.
Yes, you can. It'll only be a few hours before morning.
But what if Denton refuses to come out of that room in the morning?
He'll be better in the morning. The storm's passed over, too. Everything will seem different in the morning.
Leave the lamp burning. I'm scared.
Sure. I'll set it on the mantel. It won't bother our eyes, but it will shed some light.
Yes, that will be all right. You think Denton will sleep?
I think he's asleep now. I'd break the door down then if I thought it would do any good. But I think it's best to let him get over this spell by himself.
I'll never believe it was he laughing.
Who could it have been but Denton? Oh, now, don't worry anymore. Try to get some sleep. If he calls out, I'll wake you up.
It seems like a nightmare, doesn't it?
It will in the morning. Everything will be different then. Go to sleep now. You need the rest.
He was going to kill you.
Charles ready to kill him, eh? The hermit will tell you before the night is done.
Now, back to the hermit.
Terror-stricken, Charles and Nan stand in the middle of the room in this strange house on Lost Man's Bluff, wondering who tried to kill Charles. Listen.
You mean you think it was...
I know it was Denton.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Denton trying to kill me.
I know it was he. With his hands reaching out for your throat.
Oh, no.
And when I screamed, he ran back into that room and closed the door. Charles, where are you going?
I'm going to get him out of that room before something really happens.
You mustn't go near him.
I've got to. No, you stay here.
Never. I'm going with you.
I'm going to make him let me in there.
He may try to kill you again.
I don't think he will. You stay behind me. Denton? Denton!
Denton!
The door's unlocked. Denton? Denton? Stay back, Nan. I'm going to light a match. Great heaven. Denton.
What is it?
Get back. Don't look.
Why are you closing the door? What is it, Charles? What did you see?
No. Denton's...
Something's happened to him. Something's happened to Denton. What is it, Charles? Tell me quick. What is it?
Denton's... hanged himself. Keep hold of yourself, Nan. We've got to get out of here. Down into town and get the authorities here.
Denton. Denton, hang yourself.
Let's hope the car runs. We've got to get into town. The laughter again.
Look. Look. Up at the top of the stairs.
What is it?
In this faint light, it looks like the figure of a man.
Yes, but you can see right through him. He's disappeared.
Standing there at the head of the stairs, pointing at us. Then vanished.
That same laughter.
Charles, you're not going up there. We're going to get out of this place right away and get help. Quick, hurry, we must get help.
But I tell you, it's urgent. You've got to go up there right now.
Go up to that house on Lost Man's Bluff before daybreak?
Right now.
Oh, no, not me.
But my husband is dead in that house.
Would never enter the door of that house at night. No, sir. Neither would anyone else in this town.
Denton is dead.
He ain't the first one to die up there.
What do you mean?
Ain't never heard of the house on Lost Man's Bluff?
No. We don't live around here.
Oh, well, that explains that.
What did you mean when you said that Denton was not the first man to die there?
5 years ago, a fella that owned that house killed his brother, then hanged himself.
What?
That's right. But hanging didn't seem to take him out of this world. Now, I ain't the only one that's been there, passed there at night and heard his wild laughter. It's fit to make the hair stand right up on a man's spine. Other folks tried to live in that house. But you know what happens to them when they go in a certain room in that house?
The room Denton tried to sleep in?
The desire to kill enters in them. And the laughter of him that belongs to the other world drives them mad. They can't get away from it. They return to the place.
Charles, that's what happened to Denton. He said he'd been in that house before.
They try to kill if there's anyone near to kill, and then they take their own lives. It's happened to 3 other people. One man got back to town and told his experience, but he went back up there a few weeks later and took his life, hanged himself. Oh, no, sir. You'll have to wait till morning. Won't get nobody to go up there in the night. to that house on Lost Man's Bluff.
From the house on Lost Man's Bluff continues to pierce the night. Don't ever go near it after sundown. No. Turn on your lights. Turn them on. I'll be back. Pleasant dreams.
All characters, places, and occurrences mentioned in the Hermit's Cave are fictitious, and similarity to persons, places, or occurrences is purely accidental.
Next is Arch Obler's famous 8 minutes of terror, entitled The Dark.
Try this on for size.
Where are you turning?
The alarm said Pine Street, didn't it?
Oh, Jack? yes, of course. So why the siren? The only traffic out here is on horseback.
Yeah. You can say that again, Doc. It's from nothing to nowhere.
Okay, let's go.
Yeah, right with you, Doc. Right with you. Said somebody was hurt?
That's what the switchboard said.
Gee, what a dump. Don't seem to be a bell.
Oh, there must be. There's a light in there. Try the door.
Yeah, it's open.
Well, let's go.
All right.
Hello in there. Hello. This is another false alarm. Anybody here? I'm a doctor.
What did you... Hey, look. In the corner. This I gotta see.
Lady, I'm a doctor from General Hospital. Now, what's the matter?
She is screwy, all right, ain't she?
Frightened.
Come on, Doc. You want us to get her out of here? Or the straitjacket. Should I get the straitjacket? No, Doc, wait. Where are you going?
Can't get it open.
Huh? What's the matter? What do you want to go in there for?
Can't get this open.
Okay.
Whoever is hurt must be in there. Blasted dog. Come on, we'll break it down.
But the woman.
I got the woman. Come on, put your shoulder to it. Come on.
Yeah, all right. It's dark.
Yeah.
Can't see a thing.
Go on back in the other room and get that kerosene lamp.
Well, I
get it, I say.
Yeah, I get it. Here, Doc. The lamp.
Okay. Hold it high.
Yeah?
Oh, Mother in Heaven.
What? On the floor. What is it?
It's a man.
Oh, no. It can't be.
Yes, I tell you, yes, it's a man. A man. And he's been turned inside out.
Inside out?
Yes, see for yourself. It's a man. But the skin is the inside. The raw flesh is the outside. Organs hanging.
Yeah.
It's a miracle. A man turned inside out. Like you turn a glove inside.
Yeah, it's alive. It's alive.
I see it, I see.
Alive?
Yes.
Doc, It's trying to get up.
Oh, no.
Trying to get up, I tell you. Trying to move.
Sam, hold that light high.
I can't watch. Look at it rolling over.
Stop
it, trying to get up.
Stop that.
Look, trying to get up on its knees. Doc, make it stop. Kill it. Do something.
Sam, stop.
Can't live inside.
Sam, stop.
Oh, God,
I tell you, stop. Hysterical old woman, that's what you are. Now you stand there and shut up.
Listen to him. Listen to him. Oh, let's get out of here, Doc, please.
Don't be a fool. We've got to find out, Sam. Why? What? Look, there's another door.
Yeah. Open.
The answer might be in there.
Doc, don't. We've
got... The lantern. Bring it.
Gee, Doc, why can't we just go?
Hold it high.
Doc, what...
Don't move. There's no floor in there.
I don't see nothing. Nothing but dark.
Well, look. The dark sort of spills over on the edges.
Huh?
Well, look, I tell you. It's a deeper dark than dark. Something moving in there.
Doc, close the door.
No, wait.
Then I'll close it.
Oh, you fool, open that door. I've got to see what... She's coming in here.
Come on, Doc. Let's get out of here.
No, Sam, I'm going to find out what this is all about. All my life, things have been what they've been. I'm going to know all about this.
Please, Doc, please, let's get out of here.
Woman, if you know anything, tell me. What was it we saw back of that door where the floor should have been? Do you know?
She's going to the door. She's going to open it.
Yes.
Oh, Doc, will you listen to me? Let's get out of here.
No, now wait. She's just standing there, looking in at the dark.
Yeah. Doc? What's that coming up out of the hole in the floor?
The dark.
It's like black smoke. Listen to it. It's reaching up to her.
Yes.
What is it? Smoke? Black? What?
Crawling up around her. No.
Inside out. It turned her inside out. Inside.
Sam. Sam, get up. Sam, open your eyes. The shadows are crawling along the floor toward us. Come on, Sam. Come on. Sam, you're too heavy. I can't lift you. Sam, you've got to hear me. The shadows are crawling toward me along the floor. I can't leave you. You saw what they did to her. Look at her. Inside out. A woman inside out. Oh, Sam. I'll drag you out of here. Oh, you're so heavy. They're coming faster and faster. Like long black fingers. Yeah, my legs. What? Go of me. Sam, I can't help you. They're holding me back. The black. It's covering you. Sam! No. No, you thing, whatever you are, get off me. Stop covering me. I've got to get out of here. I've got to tell them all about you. I've got to tell everyone there's something like you loose in the world. Got to warn everybody. Get off me. Cold. Slimy. How can shadows be slimy? So cold. Covering me over. My head. My face. Look up. My face. My mouth. Look up.
Oh, You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying, so long for a while.